Jenny, just for future reference, when you tell people to wiggle, you also have to tell them to stop. Otherwise, Noah won't stop wiggling. We are in this Advent season starting a new sermon series. It's called The Advent Conspiracy. And I heard this question a couple of weeks ago, and it's been kicking around in my mind ever since. And it's, the question is this: does Christmas still have the power to change the world? I believe that the answer to that question is yes. Emphatically, I believe that the answer to that question is yes. And I want us to consider today one of the ways in which this story might still have that power. Before we begin, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we come on this morning, as we do each Sunday morning, into your presence, eager to experience you. We come not simply for what we can get from you, but what we can give to you as well. And we ask that as we come into this time, that you would open our ears and our eyes and soften our hearts, that we might be able to receive from you a message, a word, that we might be changed. But also, Lord, that we might be able to give to you our very selves. We pray these things in your name. Amen. This morning's scripture lesson is a short one, but it's chock full, so the sermon won't be. That was a joke, but all right. Apparently it hit a little too close to home for you all. This morning's scripture lesson is found in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says this: I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know how many of you have ever seen the show Candid Camera. It's a show that started in 1948, but it's had a reboot pretty much every decade since. Some of you younger people may know it as Punked, but kind of the same idea. It's a great show, and one of the things that is so funny about it and so fun about it is that it always kind of caught people in the act of being themselves. And it was always funny to see how the human psyche kind of played out and how it manifested itself. And I'd like to show you this quick clip from the 1948. Awesome. Just awesome. It's human nature. It's human nature to follow others. It's how we learn to talk and walk. It's how we learn to interact with others and what is socially acceptable. It's why so often when I'm in the grocery store, I'm praying that my kids don't actually talk to anybody. But did you notice how quickly the people in this video clip were willing to let go of what they knew was right and turn around and face the other direction? I mean, at least the first guy made a little bit of a pretense. At least he kind of looked around and was like, what in the world is going on before he turned around? The second guy was just like, all right, I guess I'm gonna preach to the choir for the rest of the service. But standing out can be challenging. Being different sometimes is hard. And I feel a little bit like I'm faced with the same conundrum every single day. Like I'm stepping onto elevators where everybody else is facing the same direction, but I feel it's facing the wrong direction. I'm standing on an elevator where everybody seems hell-bent on consuming as much as they can possibly afford, and oftentimes more than they can afford. Everybody's facing in the same direction, and I'm stepping onto an elevator trying to figure out what's going on. Whether I should join them or whether I should face in the opposite direction. I'm standing on an elevator where everybody claims their right to use their wealth and privilege for their own benefit, even at great cost to the rest of the world, to others' lives and well-being. Everybody's facing in the same direction. And I'm trying to figure out whether I should join them or whether I should face in the opposite direction. Lots of different elevators with lots of different ideas. Consumption and privilege, race and gender and citizenship and career and family and marriage. Society has all these ideas about all these things, and I don't always feel like I fit. But the elevators aren't just kind of secular and social things. I also feel like there are ways I'm asked to conform in regards to worship and holiness and hope and gospel and Christmas, especially Christmas. In all of these areas, I feel like I'm stepping onto an elevator where everybody is facing the wrong direction, even sometimes, oftentimes in the church. And I'm left trying to determine whether to stand with them or against them. And the power to conform is irresistible sometimes. But the Apostle Paul in this morning's passage challenges me to stop being conformed to the patterns of this age. Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world. The word Paul uses that we translate conform means to take on a certain shape, but we take on that shape due to external forces, external circumstances. It's like a metal stamp. The stamp has an image on it, and that stamp is placed on a smooth piece of polished metal and then smacked with a hammer. When the stamp is removed, the piece of metal is no longer smooth. It's a mirror image of the stamp. It leaves an imprint. That's what I feel like often. I feel like my soul is being stamped so that I'm taking on the image of the culture around me. I feel like I have this constant pressure on me, sometimes like the blow of a hammer, this pressure to conform. And that pressure comes from a lot of different places, not all of them bad. It comes from national affinities and political parties. It comes from economic ideologies and socioeconomic realities. It comes from racial and gender identities. There are times when I don't feel those pressures. But I'm starting to realize that when I don't, it's probably because I've already been so shaped by the stamp that I can't sense the pressure points anymore. Because my image has already been changed. And I've become like the second guy on the elevator who basically just shrugged his shoulders and followed the crowd. Friends, nowhere do I feel that pressure to conform more than at Christmas. I am more aware of the pressure to conform to the pattern of this world at Christmas than at any other time of the year. I'm painfully aware of the pressure to fall into the same lifeless, empty, vapid trap of bows on cars and kids whose joy lasts as long as there are still presents to be unwrapped. But if this story is really going to change the world, it's going to have to change me first. If this story is still going to have the power to make a difference in a world that is torn apart by hatred and violence and poverty and racism, I can't continue to bear the image of the world. I can't look like that. I need to bear a different image. Perhaps the image in which I was created in the first place. You and I, Scripture tells us, bear the image of God. Our world has this tremendous power to stamp its image upon us, but God calls us to something different. God wants to shape us too, but God doesn't change us by conforming us. God changes us by transforming us. God doesn't change us by external pressure, but from the inside out. The world conforms us so that our image is distorted and we are forced into an unfamiliar shape. But God transforms us and brings to life in us what we were always created to be. The options of conforming or transforming really couldn't be more different. I don't know about you, but I want transformation. I want to look like I was created to look. I want to be the kind of person that God wants me to be. That's what transformation looks like. The hard part is that transformation only comes through sacrifice. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your spiritual worship, Paul tells us in verse 1. I know this is kind of difficult language for us. Most of us have never been to a worship service or anywhere really where a sacrifice was offered. I imagine that if I brought a lamb up here and decided I was going to sacrifice it, most of you would have a hard time with it. I probably would too. My daughter would probably tackle me. She just affirmed that statement. But in Scripture, you can't separate worship and sacrifice. Worship doesn't exist without sacrifice in Scripture. See, oftentimes we as Christians, we assume that sacrifice isn't a part of what we do. That's an Old Testament thing. That's what they did way back when. But now that's not something we have to worry about. But Paul seems to be calling us to do exactly that. Paul seems to be calling us to make a sacrifice as an act of worship. Only Paul isn't asking us to sacrifice some helpless animal. Paul isn't asking us to sacrifice something that won't fight back, because I promise you, you will fight back. Paul is asking us to sacrifice our very selves. You can't have worship without it. And you can't have transformation without it either. Worship and sacrifice are the source of our transformation. The reason it is so hard to step on that elevator and be different is because we have such a hard time offering ourselves as a sacrifice to God in worship. I don't say that to condemn anyone, because I would probably be, okay, not with an elevator. That's just crazy. I wouldn't probably face the back of the elevator, but I do it metaphorically in a lot of different ways. The solution is for us to offer our very bodies, offer our very selves as a living sacrifice, as an act of worship. That's what we should be doing when we come into this place. It's also what we should be doing when we leave this place. Christmas has the power to change the world. I believe that without question. But if Christmas is going to change the world, it's going to have to be practiced by people who are being transformed. People who are being transformed to practice it differently. If Christmas is going to have the power to change the world, it's going to have to be practiced by people who are willing to sacrifice their very lives and their very selves. Each of us in the next 4 weeks will be stepping on the elevator of Christmas, if we haven't already. What direction are we going to face? Will we be conformed by the pattern of this world? Will we turn around and face in the same direction as everybody else? Or will we be transformed? Because we have begun to understand the call on our lives to give up our very selves in worship to God. What direction will you face when you walk out of this place this morning? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.